Well, guys, week four, this was one of those weeks where the Patriots said everyone was against them, and they were right this time.
And as they usually are, they proved me wrong, because I thought the Falcons were the better football team. Everything we talked about, they hadn't played a quarterback, an offense, receivers like that, and the Falcons wilted, and the Patriots were ready for prime time.
Yeah, me too. I was wrong as well. I thought the same exact thing that Andy did. I thought the Falcons' offense was going to be a little bit too much. Patriots' defense, especially in the red zone, came up big.
All right, and as we always do on this show, now we're going to figure out why we were all wrong and why the Patriots turned out to be the better team Sunday night.
Well, I think it starts, you know, with that red zone, you know, the red zone stops. I think when you're able to keep the points down, and, you know, 23 points, I think if you had asked anybody heading into the game, will you be happy with that? I think most of us would have been. I certainly would have been. I thought Atlanta, you know, it's funny. I had it 30-23. I just had the other team winning 30-23. So you're able to come up with some, you know, Aqib Talib to me is where it starts and ends.
I think that's right.
I think you're able to cover in the red zone, and one of the reasons you were able to do that is because you decided that he was going to be able to handle whoever you gave him, and they moved him around all night. He was one-on-one with Jones. He had bracket coverage with Jones. He also covered Roddy White on the game-deciding play. I think his versatility and his physical style is probably the best element that the Patriots defense has going for it right now.
Yeah, I think Talib overall is the difference maker on defense. Yes. But, you know, specifically Sunday night, I think that they had the right game plan on defense. I think it was really focused on the receivers. Tony Gonzalez, he's going to get his numbers, but he's not going to get you behind. You know, he's not going to get behind you and come up with the big play. And I think that was the right thing to do for most of the game until the end. You know, and I think it was successful. And I think one of the reasons why it was so successful was because of Talib.
Well, certainly Talib, to me, is in with Brady as the potential MVP through 4 weeks of the season here. You can't over-magnify how important he's been. But I think you're right. To me, coaching was a big aspect of this game, and on both sides of the ball. And that's Bill Belichick, that's Josh McDaniels, that's Matt Patricia. I think they came in with a good game plan, Patricia and Belichick, in terms of Talib matching up, moving him around, keeping Matt Ryan on his toes. And then on the other side of the ball, Josh McDaniels, I thought, establishing the run, and Logan Mankins talked about it. This is a game where we knew we should be able to run. We knew we were the bigger front. We should be able to impose our will. They had that scoring drive where they had a screen pass, 10 straight runs, and a one-yard touchdown pass. That was how they wanted to play this game early. And I think what that did is it not only it helps take the crowd out, helps impose your physical will as the team, and it also helps keep Matt Ryan off the football field. And if you respected them as an offense, that's a good thing to keep them on the sideline. So I think coaching-wise, and I know players sometimes, you know, Mike Vrabel used to bristle, sure, when we win, it's the coaches had great game plans.
Right.
I think this is a case where the players made their plays. Give credit to the guys.
Right.
Kembrell Tompkins stepped up. Aqib Talib stepped up. They all made – Brady stepped up. They made plays. But the coaches put them in good position.
Now, you also, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add one more thing to the coaching. We're really pro coaching this week. They'll like this one.
It was, they don't watch.
Was I thought, well, that's obvious. Otherwise, you'd be, never mind. But the idea of saying, okay, let's put Talib on Roddy White and then double team Julio Jones because Jones is so dangerous, you don't want to just leave Talib alone on him. I thought that was very scary, that prospect. And they did too because they doubled with Talib on Jones a lot. And you saw the difference in the last drive. Jones is doubled on the other side away from Talib, and he catches a 49-yard pass down the sideline with McCourty close enough to do something, but I don't think with the same kind of ball skills that Talib does to do something about it. So another little adjustment there. Talib generally has taken the other team's best receiver by himself. On Sunday night, they decided to bracket with Talib, and I thought it was brilliant as well.
Vince Wilfork goes down in the first quarter. That's a big loss, no matter how you cut it. To me, he's more than just a run-stuffing defensive tackle. He does more for this team on defense. The Falcons weren't able to take advantage of that. But going forward, the Patriots are going to have to make adjustments, and now teams are going to be able to game plan for him not being in the middle.
Yeah, well, to me, the even bigger loss, and I agree with everything you said about Vince. I mean, how can you not, you know, multiple Pro Bowl player. He's a fixture in there, but to me, I'm even more concerned about the loss away from the field, you know, in practice, in the locker room. You know, Andy earlier in the week talked about, you know, who's going to walk by with the big bathrobe on, giving someone a dirty look that's not necessarily doing what they're supposed to do. And don't discount the intimidation of having a guy.
They can still have him do that.
Walk around in a bathrobe. I don't,
you know, and something tells me he's probably not going to be around the locker room as often. But I think that experience is invaluable. I think he is a terrific leader. You know, we sort of talked about when he signed that big contract several years ago. They were almost trying to buy a little bit of leadership. And I, for one, was a little skeptical. I didn't know if necessarily you could buy that, but they did. And I think that he was exceptional at it. I think there's an intangible factor there that we're not going to know that they're going to be missing. The Patriots offense hasn't looked exactly as it has in recent seasons, but there's one area where that's not such a bad thing: running the football and making big plays. Last season, the Patriots only had 10 rushes of 20 or more yards for the entire year, and one of those was by Julian Edelman. This season already, the Patriots have had 6 such runs, and the big plays are starting to come virtually every week. LeGarrette Blount with the 47-yard touchdown in Atlanta. The week before, it was Brandon Bolden, a 46-yard run. This is an area the Patriots, I think, can exploit because teams are still looking at New England as a pass-first offense. The big plays in the running game have been a big part of the success. Obviously, the Patriots are going to have a big void in the middle of that defense, losing Vince Wilfork, but it's an opportunity for a player to really make an impact who's been quiet so far. That's Brandon Spikes. The first month of the season, he has really been a non-factor. He had one game against Tampa Bay. We talked about this last week, where he was a big part of the game plan because they wanted to stop Doug Martin. I think when you're talking about run defense, you're going to have to bring a guy like Spikes into the equation. It's not going to just be about who plays defensive tackle in place of Wilfork. Joe Valano is a guy who's done very well, but Brandon Spikes is a run stopper. I think we're going to see his role increase in the coming weeks. You know, at the start, I talked about how the Patriots' offense hasn't been quite as productive, but one way they've been able to get around that has really been a solid performance at kicker. Steven Gostkowski has been outstanding. He's made the kicks from long range, 48, 49 yarders the other night. He's also been a weapon in the kickoffs, a lot of touchbacks, making opponents start at the 20 consistently. This is a big season for Gostkowski. I think he struggled a little bit last season, and I quite frankly didn't think he was that sharp during the preseason, during the summer and the practice sessions here in Foxborough. But so far this year, Gostkowski's been money.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You walked by carrying your PFW and you just look, who writes this crap?
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
Images of the Week from a big win in Atlanta. This first one's Julian Edelman flipping out in the Georgia Dome. Kendrell Tompkins is really catching on. This is a picture of that great catch he made for the touchdown. Joe Valano stepped right in for an injured Vince Wilfork and recorded his first sack. Finally, in my opinion, here's the difference. Aqib Talib.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Joining us now on Patriots Football Weekly TV, the original bearded Boston athlete. What do you think about what the Red Sox are doing right now?
I like their look. I think they look pretty good. You know, they look, you know, a little bit more rugged, a little more, you know, shall we say manly. But, you know, I think that this is my third year in a row of having a nice lush beard. I think it's a good look for them. It's obviously helping them continue in their success. So hopefully it continues for through the playoffs.
Coming off a very big win, what most of us experts called your biggest test of the season. What do you feel like went well coming out of Atlanta?
Well, you know, I think some of the experts got it wrong, but, you know.
I did.
Yeah, it's okay. It happens sometimes. I think, again, it just comes down to us playing tough, you know, sound, fundamental football for 4 quarters. You know, we knew that it was going to be a tough challenge going down to a hostile environment like that. And, again, you know, I'm happy, you know, that we were able to go down there and get a win, be 4-0, heading into this game playing Cincinnati.
Obviously, the good thing coming out of Atlanta was 4-0. You got the victory. The downside is you lose Vince Wilfork. Obviously, yeah. We all know what he does on the football field. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player, mm-hmm. takes up 2 blockers. What does he mean in the locker room in terms of a leader and a captain?
You know, I think that the young guys, especially, you know, that they're missing out on somebody that they can really, you know, go into the heat of the moment and say, hey, V, like, what happened here? What happened there? And he can really get in depth on, you know, what happened out there. So now, you know, I think that I have to take some responsibility on my shoulders to help some of the younger guys out and, you know, help pick up what Vince left off, you know, with him getting hurt, you know. with him actually being in the room, the building is going to help because it's not like he's not going to be here for us. He's not going to be out on the field for us. So, again, it's tough to lose a guy like that, and especially what he brings to the team. But, that's the one downside of the NFL. You know, there's going to be injuries. There's going to be guys that are key parts of the team that get injured.
Okay, so this is your first appearance on PFW TV this year.
Yes.
You've been on in the past.
Yes.
But what people don't know is, I guess you read the newspaper, because a couple days ago we were standing in the locker room and you walked by carrying your PFW and you just look, who writes this crap? What was that all about?
Shot at you guys. No hard feelings there. I just was flipping through, happened to see a couple of things that I didn't agree with. But, that's what happens in the media. There's always going to be some disagreeing on what people think.
And when we're wrong, like this week when we picked the Falcons, we say,
accept it.
We were wrong. We made a mistake. We move on. And the Patriots, I'm going to say it right here, will beat the Bengals this week, thanks in part to Rob Ninkovich.
Another week, another Pro Bowl matchup for Aqib Talib. This time around, it's A.J. Green, the young, dominant receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. Leads the team, 26 catches, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Different challenge than Julio Jones, more of a tall, lanky receiver. But the challenge is the same. Aqib Talib, shut down the opponent's number one target. You've been up to the task so far. Do it again. Turning to the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots, the offensive line in focus this week. Logan Mankins, Ryan Wendell, Dan Connolly have a challenge in all-pro defensive tackle Geno Atkins. 12.5 sacks a year ago from the inside, 3 already this season. We know the history of the Patriots dealing with interior pass rushers. That's how you get after Tom Brady. It's important that Mankins and company don't let that happen. Usually we stick to the matchups on the field. Coming off an important coaching win last week in Atlanta, we stick to the coaches yet again. Bill Belichick, Marvin Lewis, longest tenured coaches in the National Football League. What else do they have in common? Absolutely nothing. Bill Belichick has been to 5 Super Bowls. He's won 3 of them. He has a great winning percentage. Marvin Lewis, 0 playoff wins, and he has an 81-82 record for his career. Some people believe he has the most talented football team in the National Football League this year. He's 2-2. We shouldn't be surprised. He's a 500 coach. Belichick maximizes talent. Seems like Lewis can minimize it.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I think they are ready to move on, leadership-wise and skill-wise, without a great player.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
After the Eagles played the Broncos on Sunday, we heard a report that field-level microphones were picking up the Eagles yelling out Papa John's to try to get in Peyton Manning's head. But now we're hearing it wasn't the Eagles. It was the offense for Peyton Manning. When he would go up to the line and audible, they would say Papa John's to tell him that they heard what he said. And if that's the case, it's genius. We have just found the new marketing line for the NFL. Field microphones picking up people saying stuff. What you do is you change up, and instead of the terminology you have, you put in the sponsor name. It's a new way of making money for teams. Can you imagine Tom Brady getting up to the line, Ugg one, Ugg two? It just makes perfect sense.
We've heard a lot of talk already this year about coaches on the hot seat, and most of that's been in New York with Rex Ryan and Tom Coughlin. But how about Greg Schiano? I know that he's starting to come under fire now. But really, if you look at this, this is a guy who came out of college with not a very impressive track record at Rutgers. He did some good things, but an overall losing record. And now he's just got a full-fledged mutiny on his hands in Tampa Bay. This is really falling apart. Josh Freeman, whether or not he's in the substance abuse program, how that information got out there, he's getting benched. They're looking to trade him. He wants to bring his own guy in. People are just not happy with this. This is 1 month into his second season. Greg Schiano is not long for the NFL.
A couple years ago, Eli Manning said you can't spell elite without Eli. And he's not proving that at all this year. He has his Super Bowl rings. I'll give him that. But you know what's elite? Tom Brady. They go out every year. They get the job done. Manning, the other Manning, the real Manning out in Denver, getting it done with a second team where he's dominating. 16 touchdowns, no interceptions. Eli, 9 interceptions, not elite. 0-4, not elite. 50% of your passes, not elite. You know what else you can't spell without E-L-I? Horrible, terrible, vile. That's how you're playing quarterback right now.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
Big injury to Vince Wilfork last week, but how much will the Patriots' defense be affected without him?
I don't want to minimize the Vince Wilfork injury. He's been a great player here for a long time. I would argue best defensive player over the last 6-8 years consistently, bar none. But it's a different league, it's a different NFL, and it's pass defense. You know, everybody always talks about how do you make money on defense? You play defensive end and get after the passer. You pay cornerback and stop the pass. The run stuffers are a dying breed. It's sort of like our Brandon Spikes discussion. What is his value? Vince Wilfork, great player. I'm worried about off the field, but on the field, I think they can get by.
Yeah, see, that's why I think it is going to be a big loss. It is more off the field because, believe it or not, I actually agree with a lot of the stuff you're talking about in terms of being the interior defensive lineman. I don't think he necessarily rushes the passer all that well, but this guy, to me, has really developed into a great leader, and I think they're going to miss his presence off the field. I think he was a guy that kept everybody in line. When things, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, this defense has had some trouble. I don't know if you heard, but, you know, generally toward the back end of the NFL, and he's a guy that sort of keeps it all together. He's always telling us in the media how it's not as bad as we make it out to be. He's a presence, I think, that's going to be missed. I think you're going to miss him on the field, too, because he's a great player. But I think you're going to miss him even more off of it.
On the field, like you said, they've been bad on defense statistically with him. So I think they will get by Joe Valano, one of those guys. But off the field even, Tommy Kelly, I think, is a good veteran presence. And they may have lucked out here. I'm sure they weren't planning on leaning on his veteran leadership in his first season in New England. But that's a guy that has seen a lot of football. And I know he's new to the winning ways, the Patriot ways. That's a little different. I think he can pick up some of the slack there along the defensive line. And then you look at it, other guys may have to step up, but they're expected to. You know, Devin McCourty has been a captain for this team. He's been here for a while. Aqib Talib, everybody's raving about his leadership. Jerod Mayo is a captain, centerpiece defender. I'll even say some of the younger guys. Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, you're not rookies anymore. There is a lot of to me, leadership in the making. Rob Ninkovich is another guy. I don't think they need their hand held. I think they are ready to move on leadership-wise and skill-wise without a great player.
It is, and this is the next man up mentality has worked very well here under the Belichick era for, 14 years now. I have no doubt that this team will continue to win football games. But the bottom line to me is it's not as good right now as it was with Vincent.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and react. Brought to you in part by Yokohama. Now through October 13th, buy a set of 4 Yokohama tires and receive a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free. Details in store. Yokohama. Technology drives better tires.
All right, it's time for that portion of the show where you send us your questions at askpfw@patriots.com. I'm here with my two journeyman writers, Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. This is the first week, official week, of the Wilson Hart Power Index. So we're all eager to know what the index says.
Personally, I am, Fred. I've been waiting for this for an entire month. What do you got?
I know you always mock what you don't understand, so I'll give you what you don't understand.
We mock what's funny.
The Seattle Seahawks are the number one team in the Wilson Hart Power Index. Obviously,
I'll buy that. I'll buy
playing
that.
Well both sides of the ball. Okay, should we get to number two? The New Orleans Saints.
Not buying it.
Peyton is back, and they're winning again. And obviously you want to know, the Chiefs are 3-4-0. Andy Reid getting it done. 4 is the Colts. You want to mock that one? Yes, I know. 5 is where you're Denver Broncos. I know you guys think the Denver Broncos should be the number one team, right?
I do think they're good.
Because that's generally where the superficial power rankings are right now.
So let me say, the Colts and the Chiefs are better than the Broncos.
Yeah, okay. Just go with it.
Do you think Miami is any good?
Do I think Miami is any good?
Yeah.
Not really.
No, you don't. Well, the Colts lost to Miami at home.
It happens. It happens. The Patriots are number 8, the important team for this TV show. Number 8, I think that's probably a fair ranking.
I'll buy that.
Building. That's just because you hate everybody. Bottom is where I find it also interesting. Super Bowl teams. A lot of Super Bowl teams down the bottom.
The Lions are a better team than the Patriots.
Oh, can you just stop? The New York Giants. Tom Coughlin, they got a couple Super Bowl rings.
Right.
31.
Oh, all the turnovers.
0-4.
Right.
The
so you can get
Pittsburgh
the bottom.
Steelers,
you can get the bottom right. I
couple
get
Super Bowl rings.
Yep.
Number 30.
They didn't have any Super Bowl rings this year.
By the way, the Jaguars are at the real bottom, number 32.
Yeah, he can find a way to get the winless teams at the bottom.
The index knows the bottom teams. He sure does.
He does. Yeah.
I don't find a way to do anything. These are statistics. Statistics don't lie. You are what your record says you are and what your statistics say you are.
Not necessarily in this case, because you have a one-loss team ahead of Denver. So it's not what your record says you are.
So you guys just go with the standings, nothing else. Nothing else matters.
I use my eyeballs.
Ask your questions.
The guys get 16 touchdowns, no picks. We got him in fifth.
Are we ready to take some questions here?
Sure.
Well, this week, he's ranting.
We're really only going to take one question because we had so many on one topic. We figured we'd devote it to just that topic, and that's Rob Gronkowski. Is there some fishing in the camp? When's he coming back? A lot of reports both ways. What do you guys think?
I think it's the interesting story. You know, I can see why we got so many emails, why there were so many different sort of types of questions. When is he coming back? What's the issue at hand? Is he not healthy? Is he healthy? Is it in his head? Is it the inner circle? We have no idea. We really have no idea. And the only thing we haven't heard is what Rob Gronkowski thinks. We've got all these, you know, the team thinks, their sources say the team thinks since week two he should have been back out there. Or the inner circle thinks he should go a couple extra weeks. They're 3-0. Don't worry about it. All that matters is what Rob Gronkowski thinks, and we don't know.
Paul, what's your take?
Well, he keeps talking about Rob Gronkowski himself, and Andy said that we haven't really heard when he thinks he's going to be back, but he keeps saying how he's progressing. He's never really said that he's back or that he feels like he's ready to play.
Right.
He sort of dodged that a little bit last week. So I do think that there's some hesitance there, for lack of a better word, whether it's I think it's him and his camp, whoever that may be, if that's his family, his agency, maybe a combination of all of that. But it is sort of fascinating how this has all unfolded. Just late last week, it went from he's in, according to the Boston Globe on Friday, to he's out on Saturday morning, according to the Boston Herald and ESPN and Pro Football Talk. So I just think the way this has all sort of unfolded, it has been fascinating.
I did want to say, though, on the record, officially, Jonathan Kraft said there is no divide between the player and the team.
Right.
Said that pregame last week on 98.5 Sports Hub. So that's where the official stance. That's not a source without a name next to it. That's Jonathan Kraft and the team.
All right. Every week, send your questions to AskPFW@Patriots.com.